comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I am well aware of the fact you could be doing a million other things right now, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate that. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. You know, all around the earth, when folks like us get together and talk, sooner or later, the conversation is going to turn toward extraterrestrials. And when we talk about extraterrestrials, we do it in a little different light than the rest of the world does. We do it with sobriety and seriousness. No chuckle factor, no giggle factor in it, because we know the evidence is very, very strong. We know the evidence is very, very voluminous, actually, that extraterrestrial intelligent races, civilizations do exist. And yet, because ETs themselves have not revealed themselves to us, the greater general population, in an open, obvious manner, we're left to do a lot of speculating about extraterrestrials. You know, where do they come from? What do they look like? What do they want? What are they up to? And a lot of other questions that we have, but we speculate about those. We do the best we can, inferring from little bits of evidence here and little bits of evidence there. But in the long run, it is speculation. However, among us, there are people who say that they have had face-to-face encounters with extraterrestrials. And for them, it isn't speculation. For them, it's first-hand knowledge. Just like when I told you about the fact that there were bats, there are bats, you know, the furry mammal animal, with a 6-foot wingspan. And a lot of you thought that wasn't true. Then you looked it up on the internet and you found out it is true. I knew it was true because I had seen them up close and personal. But you didn't know it was true because you hadn't seen it. And that's the way we are with this whole subject about extraterrestrials. So you and I, who have not had face-to-face meetings with them, are left in the land of speculation. But we do get to hear the testimony of people who have had face-to-face encounters. And our guest this evening is one such person. People who have had these face-to-face encounters describe the appearance for us, so we get to hear about what they really look like. They provide us with information about the origins of these ETs. Where do they come from? And what their purpose is. What are they doing over in this neighborhood in the galaxy? Well, Erica Getch is my guest, and she's going to be talking about all of that when we come back from this break. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest this evening is Erica Getch. And Erica sent me an email describing her encounter and with extraterrestrials. Actually, I guess more than one encounter. And very, very interesting story. And so I got in touch with her as a result of her email and asked her if she would be willing to talk with us on the telephone, on the show tonight. And she said that she would be willing to, and she is here. So, Erica, let me welcome you to the Kevin Smith Show. We're delighted to have you.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Now, I promised you I wouldn't broadside you, and I'm not going to, okay? But I want right up front to get one thing out of the way so we don't have people dancing around this, okay? And okay. Wondering whether they can say anything about it because people get nervous. Are you Muslim?
No, I'm not.
Okay. The reason I ask that is because of the headdress.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty typical of Muslim. But I do want to say, if you were Muslim, it wouldn't bother me. It doesn't matter. But we just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me that, and I'm ready for it, because I've been wearing this scarf for about 7 years. So to make a long story short with that, I have been extraterrestrially inspired to wear it. However, I have to mention that I did study for 4 years, all different religions, and you know, I respect all the religions, and you know, I think I can take a little bit from each one as well as just the basic spirituality. So I just say I'm spiritual, but it's actually quite important for me in my own personal message to just people that I come across that it's not the flesh, it's not the container, mm-hmm. It's, you know, what's inside. So, but I don't, you know, advocate anybody else do it. It's all a choice. And but yes, it's totally cool to ask me that because I get it a lot and I understand. I would be curious too. So.
Okay. You know, it would be like if we had a priest on or we had somebody on that had the white collar, you know. I would ask, are you a priest? So we can get it out of the way and people don't have to dance. Okay. Erica, the story that you sent me and that you and I discussed on the telephone is really quite fascinating. And it has to do with, as you said, you said you have been extraterrestrially inspired, and you told me about your contacts with extraterrestrials. You also told me that you used to play electric guitar. Were you a rocker?
Yeah, it was like Joan Jett days, and I was, you know, I alternated between 8-track tape, I have to mention, back in the day. Okay. Remember those?
Yeah.
The Donna Summers and Def Leppard.
Oh, well,
and,
you
and
know.
Nazareth. You know, it was kind of like. Anyways, and then my mom used to play a lot of variety with, you know, just everything, and sometimes it was even, you know, some folk music and things. So I had quite a nice musical upbringing, and I played violin for 7 years.
Did you?
I was almost going to be in the symphony orchestra around in Iowa, and but you know what? My secret love was the electric guitar. I wanted to rock, and you know what I mean.
Def Leppard and Nazareth. It's hard to beat that for rock.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny. I just have to mention that I think of it now, but my mom got me a Marshall Stax set up. And this was my first everything. And I have to say, wow, I didn't even realize how good I had it because I was just so disappointed that it didn't have, you know, a distortion sound. I didn't even know anything about it. It's clean. You know, I didn't know that. It's clean, but I had a so I should have kept those Stax. But no, I kind of traded them in, and you know, as time went by, I just got a some other equipment, you know. But
All right, so let's go back to ETs now. But I don't know. I would suspect that reptilians probably love rock, but I don't know. So you had an encounter with ETs starting when you were a child, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
You know, all my life up until, you know, even in my adulthood, I have always proclaimed this to be absolutely physical evidence physically coming towards me, and I didn't know what it was at the time, up until just a couple years ago when I started actually researching things. So, but as a child, I know that the ages was like between 5 and 8, and because of where I lived, and I used to have beings come in my room, and I knew I don't understand how I know this, but I knew every time they were coming, I knew ahead of time. And I would tell my mom, and, you know, she just, of course, you know, chalked it up to just imagination. I mean, I don't blame her. And I'd be like, they're coming. Mom, they're coming, you know. But I had the bottom bunk. My sister was up on top, and she was a year older. And I don't know that she ever had any kind of situation, you know, with ETs at all. She has never mentioned it. And I've asked her kind of like different things. So I'm not sure they interacted with her. And I don't understand why they wouldn't, in a sense that why would I be like more, I don't know about special, but you know what I mean, choose me versus, but anyways. And they would come into the room, and they would be like swirly gray, I called them tornadoes. And I mean, the whole thing, you know, there were like 3 or 4, and it depended on the night. And it seems to me that they came every single night. Now, I'm a child, so I don't really know if I knew the time that well, but that's what I imagined every night for all those, you know, 3 years. And I don't remember them coming into, like, the room, like they just were, like, manifesting over off in the corner somewhere. You know, I don't recall anything major. And they would come towards me, and I would cover my head, and I knew that they were going to, like, examine. And I knew what they were doing. There was always one at the foot of the bed and always one at by my head. And there was one or two, depending on how many came, and in the middle section somewhere. And it was like, it was frightening. I mean, I overall say that my encounter was positive, but as a child, you know, you don't know what's going on. So, I mean, I was, you know, scared, but I would wake up the next morning, and I don't have any recollection of, you know, really what happened or anything, but I knew that they were trying to examine me, like, without, you know, in a child words or something, I was conscious of that they were interested in my, like, physical self or something, you know, mm-hmm. And I didn't really know why.
Okay, and now let's, let me ask you this. Are you aware of ever waking up with any marks on you or anything like that?
I'm not aware of it. I was, might not be surprising, but I was, what do they call it, tomboy style, whatever, where I, you know, so I was kind of a little rough and tough anyway, so if I got a mark, it probably wouldn't have been that big a deal. I wouldn't have thought of it much, mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so let's fast forward to a little bit later in life, you had another encounter, kind of a more dramatic encounter.
Yeah, the little beings that came when I was 5 or so, that was in 1969, and it was about 7 years later, say, and so 1986, I was a teenager, and I had switched schools from my mom's to my dad's, so my actual friends shifted. So I had kind of like new friends, and this is what I'll get into, kind of why I ended up losing touch with them after this event. So this is kind of why they weren't really lifelong friends, but they were new ones. And basically, we were just, you know, I always say joyriding the back roads of Iowa, over by Waterloo, Iowa. and beyond somewhere. I was not the driver. I was 15, I believe, at the time. And basically, I'd say that, you know, every time I get into this, I don't know if you guys will notice this, but, I mean, I shift, you know, into, it's just, you know, like, it just comes back. Okay.
You're doing fine. Don't worry. There's nobody here but you and me.
Okay. So, I'm in the back seat, in the drive, like, passenger side back seat. One of my friends is, you know, with me, and there's two up front. So, we've got, you know, witnesses of four, if you want to call it, and, it's starting to get dark, but, like, I want to say the time would be around 7 o'clock, because, like, exactly almost a year ago, almost the same time of year. It was, like, not quite October, but somewhere late summer. And so around 7 o'clock it starts to have where the sun comes down, but you still get to see the colors mm-hmm. and everything, and it's just right on that peak.
Yeah.
And that's where we were at, and just, you know, we're singing to the radio, and everything is typical, great, you know. It's kind mm-hmm. of bored in a sense, but, like, you know, this was all the fun we had, so, you know, nothing much back in the day. But I see this, like, airplane, you know, or something, you know what I mean? That's just what why is this airplane keeping pace with me? I mean, that's just like split-second thought. And I thought, God, that's really strange. You know, you never see that. I mean, it's literally keeping pace with a car. And I thought, that is really weird. And I couldn't even get a chance to say anything, because then all of a sudden the radio gets all crazy and it, you know, gets staticky. And we're like, oh, you know, complaining. And then the car stalls. And so we're basically left on the side of the road, and all this is happening in this really quick timing. We're looking like, oh, my gosh, where are we? Because, number one, you know, that we didn't even have cell phones or nothing, and we're all a bunch of girls, back road where there was no, I mean, literally there was still unpaved roads back then in Iowa. And I don't know where exactly we were, but so we looked around to see kind of like off to the left to see, you know, okay, so we got a cornfield over here. I remember the road and everything. I wish I could find out exactly where, but it kind of curved way up ahead. And then off to, like, kind of the right a little bit, there was a white house that was clear off in the distance, farmhouse. I mean, nothing around. You could tell it was probably not even lived in. And then you can kind of see the soybean field and a row of trees right there, dividing everything. And then all of a sudden, boom, right hovering above the tree line is this amazingly streamlined saucer, straight out saucer. And I have to say that we were, of course, straight and sober, and, you know, I mean, really, you know, I like to mention that, because I never studied any kind of sci-fi. I didn't have any interest in anything that was really paranormal, except for a little bit of ghost stories, you know, but not much, because I always got a little scared or whatever, you know. And so, you know, this is just something that I just never, you know, thought about. I was into watching MTV when it came out, so, you know, that's about all I cared about, you know what I mean? And so I've seen this, and what I want to describe is it was completely silent. Not a sound. There was a feeling in the air, and it's all, this is coming so fast. There's a feeling like, the only thing I can compare it to is one time later down the line, I as an adult, there was a tornado, and it was like within several miles, and then it got really quiet and really, like, weird. The air got really strange, almost like a vacuum, but even the bugs were silent, you know what I mean? It's like everything mm-hmm. was so silent. When all this, and it was hovering, and it's like you take a pie plate or two plates, and you know you put one on top of the other, and where you have the lip of the plate, there was circular lights. And the reason that I started noticing this, I have to mention, is because all of a sudden, I don't know why in the world I ever thought this, but I was was afraid. I was totally afraid. In fact, we were all talking about this. We're like, oh, my God, they can hear us. Like, we knew they could hear us somehow. You know, we just, like, were paranoid. We're like, oh, my God, they can hear. Shh, you know, everybody's. And we were scared. And so I was afraid that we would forget. You know, I don't know why I was afraid that, but I was like, oh my, and this is all conscious, full recollection. There was some hypnosis later, but this is, you know, full-fledged recollection. And so I was so scared. I said, you guys, don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. And, you know, I mean, just drilling it in them. And to myself, I thought, I've got to think of, like, I've got to concentrate on one specific thing that I can remember. And that was the lights. It was the lights. It was super streamlined, though. The entire thing was a dull silver color, and there was not one bump, you know. I mean, 1986, everything was bulky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every piece of equipment that I ever saw, you know. And this was, I mean, brilliant. It was just perfect. And so I looked, and there was circular lights, and it was like, not red, white, and blue, but just it was like I remember the red and the blue and a yellowy white, and they would flash in like a sequence. Like it seemed like there were all the reds would flash at once and all the, but they would, you know, there was like a pattern to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really weird because as this is going on in real time, my father and my sister and the whole neighborhood were watching. They saw it from like thousands of miles away.
Thousands of miles?
Well, I don't know how. You know, it was like across town. Like, I don't know. they saw it that far where they could identify the colored lights. My sister.
Yeah. Well, see, my wife is like 8,000 miles away. She's in Thailand, so that would be thousands of miles.
Oh, okay, maybe that's not thousand. I'm glad you said that. My sighting itself, seeing it was no more than 500 feet away, but I don't really, you know, between 2 and 5, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not good with that. I'm glad you said that. Well, it was that my father, my sister remembers seeing green on it, and I don't really remember seeing green lights, but. See, she was, you know, not with me at the time. She was, you know, witnessing it from a distance. The city mayor of Cedar Falls at the time, he was our neighbor, and he saw it. And my father lived on a circle drive. So all the neighbors came out at the same time at the end of the night. And they.
All right. You know, hang on, because we're going to pick up there when we come back. We have to step away for a break. All right, folks, we'll be back. I told you this would be good. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, and my guest this evening is Erica Getch, and we're hearing her story, an amazing story, of encounters with extraterrestrials. And when we had to go away for break, Erica had us on the side of the road with a classic saucer-shaped UFO above her and her group of girlfriends. And she was describing that for us. Erica, let me let you pick up right there.
Okay. Did you want me to describe the saucer again or just go?
No, you described, unless there's something else you wanted to tell us about it. Said your family and other townspeople saw this same event from miles away.
Yeah. And when I say this, it actually makes me feel a little bit more sane, knowing, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, I'm a little bit of a skeptic myself in any kind of paranormal stuff. I'm not a like one to just jump in and say, oh, I believe everything. But I like to get some evidence. I like to, you know, maybe intuition on it and, you know, like sort of research all of the different angles. But seeing that my father, my sister, the city mayor, and I don't know, about 10 other neighbors were witnessing this, and they were all, you know, my sister told me later they were all talking about it, like, oh my gosh, look at that. And they said it was darting around or something. I don't know exactly what it was doing. But my husband, that I actually didn't know at the time, he was out of town, not even in Waterloo-Cedar Falls area, and he said that he saw it with his family, and they had binoculars, and they could, you know, he confirms the same thing, and they, I guess he called, I don't know if it's FBI, but, you know, whatever the phone book allowed to have some kind of, like he called all the radio stations and different, you know, government, whatever, and reported it. And somebody in one of the places he called said that they were keeping an eye on it, that they had other reports. So it was a mass sighting. I just really wish I could find out. I haven't looked hard enough, but I would love to know if I could find the newspaper article, if they wrote one up at all. Mm-hmm. So. Because I would think that would be kind of, you know, but I don't know if they really did that, because we were a little behind the times in Waterloo, Iowa.
Well, yeah, but you know what, with the news media, even back then, if a UFO landed in Central Park, they wouldn't report it, or if they did, they would giggle at it and say a bunch of people thought they saw a UFO. On the other hand, a boot can fall out of a jet airplane, and the boot lands in Central Park, and it's mainstream media headlines because there are things falling out of a jet. But a UFO could land. The occupants could get out in Central Park and have a picnic, and the media wouldn't report it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I guess that's true. I just thought maybe it was, little small town kind of mentality, but honestly, that's, yeah, that whole mass sighting thing is just like, I don't know, I've been really like trying to, you know, maybe get a hold of some other people to see if, but you know, that was what, 25 years ago. But anyways, okay, so that was, you know, confirmed, but what was after my friends and I saw this, the craft, I only have like this almost cut memory thing, because the sun was going down at the time, and so even say 7 o'clock or 8, whatever, I don't even know, and I have a flash memory of it being pitch dark. I'm standing at a humongous window, and I'm screaming to my friends again to instruct them. I don't know who, you know, why I was doing that, but I was saying, oh my god, you guys, look at the stars, they're so big and beautiful, and I'm standing, you know, in mesmerizing awe, woo, you know, and I have to, like I said, mention, I was kind of boy crazy, and that's really was my concern, just having this, you know, girls just want to have fun attitude, so it wasn't really that I was, you know, interested in the stars, so, you know, it's kind of shocking that I remember this, and then there's another memory that is, like, totally real, though. I don't understand how it's almost like in between the flash memory that I had and just my conscious memory. It's like, it you know, I don't even know if that my brain's telling me that it's so weird that I'm protecting, whatever it is. I'm trying to self-analyze, sorry. But that we're standing outside the car, and this is real. It's lifting up. I don't see it lifting up from the ground, but it's lifting up from a point that, you know, and it does this dippy maneuver that is, I mean, very quick and very steady. There's no rocking, like if you see some CGI graphics or whatever. It seems like they show the craft kind of going, ooh, like, you know, like maybe they're drunk or something, and, you know. No, it was a... I mean, it was, and everything was, like, stayed level, and it just, you know what I mean? It was beautiful. I mean, it was perfectly beautiful, and it dipped, and then within the blink of an eye, it went so fast, like, out of sight. It didn't disappear. I saw like that streak that just barely your brain can pick up, and, mm-hmm. and so I know it wasn't mm-hmm. disappearing. And then guess what? Nothing. Boom. It is straight out. I don't remember until 25 years later. Now, I'll tell you what my sister actually said, that what happened, she saw me when I came home. She said I came home the next day, which would confirm that when this was, when the dip movement came, the sun was up kind of low in the sky. That I believe it was around 11 o'clock, maybe 9 o'clock, because it was very low.
Mm-hmm.
So she confirmed that the time of when we came home. She said she saw me with my friends, get out of the car. We all got out, and we were, oh, my God, we saw a UFO. And then they got in the car. Well, she said, yeah, we saw it too, or something like that, and I don't remember that at all. And then she said, I just went to sleep. I went in the house, and they left and everything. And then after that, I lost contact with my friends. They were my good friends. And she says she remembers seeing one of my very close friends who I did try to contact recently when Facebook came out, and everything was fine until I mentioned the UFO and just sort of asked the question if she was with me type thing, just to kind of get it started. She blocked me. And I don't mm-hmm. really know why, and it's, you know what I mean, I don't know if it's, there's something, if she even remembers it or not. So this is where I ended up not even thinking of it. Not once, except for I had some strange occurrences that happened that I would like to talk about. It happened within a couple months later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. About 2 months later or so, it was Christmas time, and my father had the sunken living room, and where there was just, you know, I mean, he had really good blinds, I have to mention. I mean, he was like a business owner, so he had the kind of blinds that were the thickest things I've ever seen. You know, there's nothing could penetrate it. But I have to describe the setup because it makes a difference. Right directly ahead of me was an antique mirror that he was working on that he finished, you know, armoire or something. He was doing antiques. And then to the right was the TV. And off in the corner, kind of far kitty corner, was the Christmas tree. Well, I was petting the cat, and it was about 3 in the morning, and I was watching MTV again. petting the cat, and the cat was really lazy, fat, old cat, and it was so cute. And so it's staring at me, loving, blah, blah, blah. And then the cat just did like an owl movement and quickly, you know, turned and got really weird-eyed and everything. And so I just thought, what? So I looked over there, and there's like literally the size of a golf ball. Like, I hate to say Tinkerbell, but that sounds so cheesy. But it was the size of a golf ball. It was a white orb or something, I guess. It was radiating the light, like, from within, but it didn't have it, like, come out of it where it was, you know, touching. The light didn't, like, touch other things. I looked around to see if there was some, you know, pervert or somebody peeking in the windows. No, everything was shut. So I guess I kind of contributed to a possibility of a ghost. But later some people are saying, well, you know, you never know if that was related, and I never even really thought about it back then. But the cat had the head movement the entire time as the orb. And so it was confirming all the movements, and it started kind of going around the room slowly, you know, sort of zigzaggy, and then it started going behind the Christmas tree. And in the perfect timing that it would come out of the Christmas tree, because, you know, it had that steady pace, and when I couldn't see it, but then right when it should have came, it did come out around the other side. And it started coming towards us, and oh my gosh, that's when I got really scared. I mean, I was like, I don't think I've ever been this scared in my life. It was like there was frozen fear. And I was watching the cat half the time and the orb the other. But it started coming up slowly the back of the couch. And the cat was, you know, I mean, moving its head to it and everything. And I really thought that this was when I was actually going to die. I thought maybe I was just going to die, and this is what happens when you die. The cat, it got about 1 or 2 feet away from the back of my neck, my shoulder, I'm sorry, and the cat took off running. And it left me there. He left me there. And I was petrified. So I looked straight ahead in the mirror, and I watched myself. And I really just thought, I mean, this is it. So I was just like getting my mind ready. And all of a sudden, I could see the orb coming. And then it went behind me. And I didn't feel it go through me, so I have no knowledge of that. I just didn't feel nothing. And then it came out the other side. So I kind of like heard it and looked, and then it just disappeared. And I was really scared, so I thought it was maybe a ghost or something. So I went ahead and stood up, and I tried to play it off. And I go, well, I'm going to go upstairs now and go to sleep. I was, you know, trying to be so strong and everything. And my voice was just, it was really weird. I was like, and it took me like, I swear it seemed like it took me 20 minutes to get upstairs. Because I was playing it off and I was so afraid because I had to go upstairs and I thought it was going to be behind me. So I was scared. But when I went upstairs, I told my sister, but I mean, nothing ever happened like that again. So that was kind of strange, and I don't really know what
that. That happened within, what, 2 months after the UFO incident?
Mm-hmm. About two, maybe 3 months later, because about September, say, and then Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that was, and I don't know if that's related to it at all.
Have you ever had that happen again?
No. No, I'm glad. And that's the thing. Then it was the summertime, so it was several months later again, you know, when everything kind of, well, maybe not summer, but it was spring and just whatever. I started actually having anxiety after that. I started having withdrawing. I started withdrawing in school. Just, you know, the anxiety kind of everything just, you know, and then I started to go to, you know, some parties and stuff. And so when I, you know, me and my sister would go just out to be with our friends at, you know, a gathering at a house. And sometimes, you know, the guys would joke around about whatever it was. And my sister would say, oh, jokingly, don't, you know, mess with my sister. Because she had seen me do this a few times at home. I had electrical disturbances and sort of at will. Now, this sounds really bizarre, but so at parties she would say, don't get Aunt Erica mad because she'll make all the lights go out in the house, and they're like, yeah, right. And it would take sometimes up to 30 minutes, but it would really be hard on me, but I would concentrate and I would make all the lights go out. The circuit breaker would trip, all the music would go out.
Right. Speaking of lights going out and breaks, we have to take a break. All right. So we'll be back and more of this story on the other side. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Erica Getch. And Erica, you were telling us about this additional strange thing where you could make the lights go out. Do you still have that?
I actually have a little tiny portion of it where I get the same kind of feeling, energy, and it really hardly ever happens, but it usually results from some kind of stress or heavy, you know, mood thought type thing. And when I turn on lights, you know, they'll blow out. But it's really probably nothing. I think that might just be, well, okay, my husband says, would you do blow the lights out again? Because he kind of knows it happens a little bit more than, you know, well, he says he never has that happen. So coincidence or not, I don't know, seriously. But I guess nothing that I would really, like, make a super claim on, though.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, so you had some weird stuff happening to you, and so far everything that you have described, I have heard, not the same thing, but I've heard similar weirdness happening after people have had an encounter with a UFO or with its occupants. Not everybody that has an encounter tells that they have had this sort of weirdness going on afterward. But a lot of them do. And you made a statement a little bit earlier that you were glad that other people saw this UFO, so it kind of confirmed to you that you weren't going crazy.
Yeah.
So I want to give you a little bit of a Kevinism here, okay?
Okay.
And it's a little bit of an example. I've done it on the air, so the audience knows what's coming. Have you ever seen a Walmart?
Yeah.
Did you ever look at a Walmart and think it was a beach ball?
No.
Okay. Have you ever seen a cow?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever look at a cow and think it was a Cadillac?
No.
No. So you saw what you saw. You're not crazy, and your eyes didn't play tricks on you, and your mind did not go on vacation. You saw what you saw, and that's that.
Yeah, that's a good way. It makes me feel better. It's just a strangeness that.
Well, you just saw something that a lot of other people haven't seen. I can tell you, the first time I saw one of those bats with a 6-foot wingspan, I was amazed. I didn't know such a creature existed. But they're
that's
all
a
over the place.
Wingspan. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, 6-foot wingspan, and they're all over, and the body of the thing is like 20 inches. It's a big bat, and they're all over Southeast Asia, Indonesia, all over that area, and Australia, they have them. But I'm not from there. I'm from over here, and our bats, you can put them in the palm of your hand. They're little tiny things over here. So the first time I saw it, I was amazed. Nevertheless, I was looking at a bat with a 6-foot wingspan. Nevertheless, doesn't matter that I'd never seen it. They exist. And that's kind of how this thing is about extraterrestrials and UFOs. When you see it, you saw it. Period. That's it. You saw it. And your sanity doesn't depend on a majority vote of the population.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's... I know, it's, I guess I'm always kind of apologizing a little bit on the, I don't know. I mean, I just received a, email that said, have you ever been to therapy? You know what I mean? Because people hear about it and then they want to, say, we have one word for you, schizophrenia. I'm like, really? Well, I've been already checked out, but thank you,
Well, send that person to me and let them go through Kevin's therapy.
All right.
It's called reality therapy. And I'm not joking. You spend an hour with me discussing stuff with a chuckle, and you'll leave wondering where you've been all your life.
All right. I'll have to remember that. Well, yeah, and now it actually comes down to my hypnosis situation, because I really wanted to find out. It was actually 25 years later, and... I basically didn't remember anything, I mean, there wasn't anything to, think about. I didn't study anything with extraterrestrials. I don't even know if I saw all of the movie, what was that one where, maybe it's just called E.T. or something. Just, I was kind of like doing my own thing. I did have flashbacks of, a craft and things like that. I just had real quick flashbacks, and they really made me sick to my stomach to remember it. Like the kind of sick where I swear I can only describe as being a possible mental block. It just was the more I thought about it, the more my brain felt tired.
Mm-hmm.
Just forget about it. Just, almost like fatigue if you're studying for a test. You just get to a point where you're just like, oh, I can't do anymore, or whatever it is. So that's kind of what it was. And then some images would actually get me to be really feeling scared, but I don't even know what it was. So I started studying the religion. I started looking into that because I had a death in the family, and you know, it was one of those things, just my journey, you know, to try to figure out, you know, everything. And I didn't grow up with any kind of spiritual or religious upbringing. My mom, she wasn't an atheist. She was just my mom, and she didn't talk about devil or angel or anything. It was just normal, like, I don't know, didn't mention anything. So I started reading, and when I did read the Bible, I read it, and this is nothing against anybody else that's, you know, religious or anything, but what I kept thinking to myself was how guilty I kind of felt, because it seemed as though, in my opinion, that the Bible was like one big extraterrestrial encounter. And I kept thinking, oh, this can't be, you know, I mean, it just, everything seems strange. So,
okay, so let me help you with that, too. If there is God, as described in that book of 66 books, if there is God, is he from here?
He's from somewhere, but where, I mean, everywhere.
Yeah, but he's not from here, is he?
He's not from here, right.
So he's extraterrestrial.
I like that. Yeah. You made me feel better. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome.
I do feel good. No, I mean, I've learned to accept it as time goes by. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, it just is something like kind of where it's just, you know, I don't know. There's so much layers to that onion, you know, mm-hmm. with the ancient aliens and everything. And so.
But see, the same thing applies to angels. Are they from here?
Well, I kept seeing that it seemed like the angels are not, and they would come from the sky. Well, the sky, and if you look at everything, well, what else comes from the sky? You know, the ET. I mean, everything, yeah. I know what you're saying. It's like it just started clicking, but I don't know. It was just strange. So I have to tell you, I went to try to find somewhere to, like, turn my, you know, like, I wanted to tell someone about, and I saw MUFON, so, and thank God for MUFON, because, I mean, they were like, you know, if you don't know where to go, I mean, they're, you know, popular and everything. So I found, and I turned it in to MUFON. I drew a rough picture of what the craft looked like, and, you know, they contacted me and everything. So I kind of got, you know, that was kind of good and therapeutic. It really was. So, and then, you know, I pretty much just started, like, researching, you know. I just started researching stuff. I started unlocking more where I kept thinking. I was trying to get farther and farther ahead in the memory block. At first it started when I was thinking about everything, and it would just, you know, be, like, kind of scary, a little bit weird, whatever. And then I was trying to imagine, well, what I wanted to know, like, what happened? You know, I mean, a good 10 hours, I'd say, missing time, you know. And I needed to know what in the world happened. So, and I tried everything. And I, you know, that's where Facebook, I have to say, came in handy, because there's a really good community on there. And there's good, you know, organizations like ICAR, for example, and MUFON. And, you know, there's good, like, if you don't know where to go, just, you uh-huh. know, that's a good place to start. Facebook, actually. And so I decided it was time to go see a psychologist. Well, because I don't really know. There's nobody around that is trained that I can get to for uh-huh. Hypnosis. And I wanted to know, and I specifically wanted to know who I was with. And just, I just thought maybe like what happened after, but it wasn't really, I wasn't thinking of anything. I was kind of mostly focusing on who everybody was I was with, so I could talk to everyone and maybe get a hold of them. And I thought,
okay, we have to step away for break. When we come back, we'll have a good long time before the next break. But we'll be back, folks, right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you are here, and you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour, and my very best hopes, dreams, wishes, and prayers that you never, ever suffer that tragedy again. But we are delighted you are here. You will be too. My guest is Erica Getch. And she is sharing with us one of the most amazing stories I think I have ever heard about a UFO encounter, and really several lifelong recurring encounters. When we went away for break, Erica, you were just about to tell us about going to see the psychologist because you're trying to get past this mental block where you could only just remember certain flashes and then you couldn't go any further.
Yep. I have to say, it's another nice thing that obviously the psychologist, did not confirm or say that I was, schizophrenic or anything, which I figured that, but hey, it was something I have to say. But actually, the only thing that he said about it, and I told him that there was that I saw some kind of craft, and he said, and I thought maybe I felt a little silly, because he's obviously a mental health kind of professional. So I thought, oh no, what is he going to think? But he said that his, relative saw an extraterrestrial. So, not extraterrestrial, I'm sorry. That would be amazing. I mean, I'll just say his brother actually had a UFO sighting. So he had at least an open mind to say, let's give it a try. So I said, well, just, I'm not expecting much. Because I think as I went through the hypnosis, I think I got put under, I kind of fell under a little more as I became more comfortable with the, But so anyways, this is where it really does get, interesting, and really I'm just going to say right now, and I always, I try not to be apologetic, but, I was embarrassed to hear, to recall it, even to listen to it later, because I asked the doctor, well, could you, my husband's not here, is there any way you could just, hook a microphone to my scarf and just, let me have so I can share it with them? And so he agreed to do that, and I do have that on my YouTube page, the real-time hypnosis, but I cut out a lot of the gaps in it because, of course, there's a lot of dead air space. So I have that on there as well, and that's, of course, it's youtube.com/Erica Getch. But and so is Facebook. Everything's Erica Getch. But and that got put under some scrutiny for actually posting that as well. But, you know what I mean? It's only so much. You can't win sometimes, but...
Oh, no, you can. Let me help you with that. You got up this morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, all night last night, maybe not all night, but most of the night, you were asleep, right?
Probably.
Okay, so if you were asleep, you were not doing anything consciously controlling your life, you could have died, and you didn't. So when you got up, you won. You always win if you get up.
Oh, that's good. That's real good. You're good, Kevin.
You're a winner when you get up. Everything else is incidental.
I need you for my, motivational speaker. I'll be calling you. Kevin, I'm feeling low. You'll tell me, grab a candy bar, and then you start giving me all this good stuff to remember.
You win when you get up. Everything else is just incidental.
Yeah, and the funniest thing is I think, some people say, well, they don't really want to talk about their experiences because, there's so many experiences with, extraterrestrials or even just sightings. Some people are scared. And I say, this sounds like it's negative, but it's really, I just say, look, I'm 43. And honestly, in a way, you could kind of say my life is half over. Now, I know that sounds, maybe I'll live a little longer, but, I have to look at it in the sense of, what are you waiting for? Precious moments are ticking away. It really is. Mm-hmm. So unless you're in physical danger or something that is that dangerous and harmful, I don't know. I guess some people do their, you know, they hush about it because of their careers. So I can kind of understand that, yeah, because...
Well, and most people are not willing to be in somebody else's face with it as I am.
Right, right.
You know, everybody wants to be PC. I don't. I don't want to be PC. I want to be true.
Right, right.
And that upsets our current society. But, hey, they just have to get used to upsets.
Yeah, and I think it's really, it's actually really good. Sometimes the internet is such a blessing because then, you know, we can have this type of interaction and networking. And sometimes though, there's a little bit of that disinformation or stuff. But overall, I say the internet's positive for getting, you know, people to understand that, you know, there's more. I mean, I don't think my experience is anything compared to, you know, other people's. I mean, like, I just put mine, like, lower. I just think that it's, you know what I mean?
An experience is an experience, and they're all of equal value.
Yeah, so.
I mean, your experience is of equal value to you as someone else's experience is to them. You know, everybody loves their own kids, you know,
yeah.
And so, you know, I don't expect somebody else to love my kids, but I love my kids as much as anybody else loves theirs. And that's the way experiences are. So let's go back to the psychologist.
All right.
So he's got the microphone on you and things start popping. What happens?
Yeah, of course, he doesn't lead me as, you know, leading the witness or whatever, leading on. He just kind of says, go through it. And so I just kind of, you know, start talking. And for the most part, everything's the same as, you know, I described. But I have in my hypnosis audio, if you hear it, I describe a little more of maybe like feelings and things like that, like from that perspective of,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I said something like the lights were making us forget. The flashing, and I found that actually interesting later when I listened with my husband. I was, you know, I don't remember saying that. There's a lot I don't remember saying, so it's almost like I have to, you know, re-listen to my own sometimes. But so for some reason I must have known that. But okay, so the bottom line is, I ended up getting out of the car. My friends were trying to stop me from getting out, and I went ahead and did it. And I was hesitating while I was walking over. And I ended up, well, basically being underneath the craft, and the craft was honestly something like the size of a huge house or I don't know, it's hard to gauge it, but that I was, in my hypnosis, I thought it was going to fall on me, or, you know what I mean, I was like, it was just something that, you know, when you see something like that suspended, I mean, I guess, but, anyways, so, though I was like suddenly engulfed in this white light sort of kind of mist thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything, you know, like just come from a point and then come down. It was just like there it was, or that's what I remember. And I got like sick. I got really sick.
Now, you're talking about at the time it happened or during the hypnosis session?
I relived it. I relived it. Mm-hmm. I was sick, like, in real time in hypnosis, but I was also feeling it, and I can remember it still. I'm not nearly as strong as I recall. Like, it faded because it's been, I think, about 6 months, maybe. It has not been a 1 year since I, maybe one year since I actually got the hypnosis. But I felt like I was twirling, like I felt like I was knotted up and I was twirling in a ball, or that I was my stomach kind of felt like my body felt tickly. It had this extremely sickening sensation where, I mean, the worst case of wanting to vomit, you know, mm-hmm. worst case of bedroom spinning, wanting to vomit kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And all the while that I felt like I knew it would pass, like I did it before. And then all of a sudden I'm up in the ship. And I'm in this, like, what I call the exam room. It seemed like it was bright. I didn't notice any color on the walls or any, you know, it just was like a bright, maybe almost too bright for me or something. And all these little workers, little grayish beings were, I have to mention, you know what, it's like they were the same ones because going back quickly to my when I was between 5 and 8, the beings that used to come in that were gray, I know that they were probably about maybe 3 feet tall because the top of their heads never got close to that bottom bunk the way it hung.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of gauged, you know, the size of them. So, but they were about that same, you know, size. But this time I could see they weren't, like, twirling or doing any, I mean, didn't look like tornadoes or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they were moving fast. I mean, they were whizzing around, and there was, like, a couple that, they never talked. I don't remember seeing, like, you know, staring at their face because they were, like, hard to even, like, see. I was just like, my God, you know, these things were going quick. But I know they were trying to coax me on the table or this bed thing. And I was, like, arguing, and I don't know if I argued, like, openly, said with my mouth. But whatever it was, there was an obvious argument. Like, I'm not, you know. And it came to a point where I realized, you know, I cannot leave. I mean, how am I going to leave? So, I mean, it was just like, do it. So, you know, I laid down. I think they did something, you know, physically to me. I don't know if they were doing something physical as much as then in a moment I have something where all of a sudden, basically, after so many moments or whatever it was, they kind of left. They were, like, gone. And all of a sudden, I knew something was coming. I could smell it. And, you know, when I got up in the ship, I did have it. There was this smell that you could smell in that room. And I say yuck, but it's an assault on your senses. Not necessarily you can't smell it. It's not like if you go to a park bathroom and it just needs to be cleaned. It is almost a chemical, silent almost. I don't know if that makes sense, but you know what I mean? Like smelling salt, kind of, you know, you just know there's something there. But, and I knew that I could kind of sense, almost like Jurassic Park, you know, when the when T-Rex starts coming and everybody can, you know, like they know it, they can feel it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I felt. Anyway, so the little guys are gone, and all of a sudden, in walk these two blue reptilian-looking beings. They don't look typical, though, and I really struggled with this. I have to say I struggled big time because I was like, what are they? In hindsight, like after I started researching, you know, to find out. But I will describe the room real quick. The table, I have my drawings, too, on the Internet. But there's the table, and there was a tower right next to the bed. And in the corner there was some kind of monitor system gadgets going on there. So we had two kind of like areas. And when they came in, I could sense one was a male and one was a female. And again, I don't really know that how, you know, but I just knew it. And the female entity went off into the corner and was off in that other, you know, little area that I just described. And the male one was right next to me. And what he looked like, well, they both looked the same, was approximately 7 foot tall. And that's just, I mean, like I said, again, I'm sure it could be a little off. And very buffed, very buffed, with like very broad and muscular, and it kind of tapers, though, down into a normal, and I don't recall seeing the actual hands or anything. I just remember how big the muscles, you know, I was focusing on that, and it just was strange. They were blue. They were kind of like a very light version of an electric blue. So if you took electric blue paint and you mixed it with white, kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a light. There wasn't prominent, so this is why I argue with the reptilian thing. I'm not argue, but wonder. there wasn't prominent scales like a, I guess I was under the impression at one point that, when in my research, that there was crocodile, you know, like if you if you see a reptilian, they'll have a fish scales or crocodile look to it. It didn't have an outward scales on the actual flesh. It was like underneath where it was almost like they put some kind of oil over and had a texture to the skin, but yet not somehow protruding extra to as if to have an armor on, you know.
You may be interested to know, you mentioned ICAR a few minutes ago. Joe Montaldo is the director of ICAR. And Joe Montaldo is a friend of mine, and his network carries this show, and he's been a guest on this show. And he has been here and described both kinds of reptilians that you're describing. So people do see those more crocodile-ish features in some of them, and then there are others that describe them with a more smooth texture, as you're describing.
Yeah, and that's where I was unaware of the actual, you know, I mean, I was that's how naive I was when I was getting this information, which I guess, you know, it's, like, I learned a lot after researching. Basically, let's see.
Okay, well, let me ask a couple of questions about this reptilian. What about facial features? Did it look more humanish but with reptilian features, or did it look more dramatically reptilian?
It had more of a longer head than a reptilian, I guess. Well, the typical, I don't know if that's even fair to say typical. It had where he was wearing a vest. Now the female wasn't, and this is just even stranger. Wearing almost a weave kind of oh my God, it's almost like a potato sack weave. You know, it had just a very rough kind of look to it. Vest that had some I don't know if they were jewels, I don't know if it was just a symbol, but it had kind of a little bit of a diamond sort of pattern and maybe some, you know, things that kind of collectively looked like a little bit of a diamond. But and the face was the mouth looked like I suppose typical kind of short. The nose was almost like not really very prominent. It just didn't really like have any major sticking out like alligator or anything. I didn't really, you know, the nose wasn't that prominent, but the mouth had sharp teeth and kind of wide, you know, with a little bit of a jaw, you know, just and that might be typical, I guess, reptilian. The eyes, I describe them as looking like glass. They were not colored that I noticed. They just looked, you know, clear, and you could see the mechanism in them, and the pupils were elongated. And you could kind of see, you know what I mean, maybe the workings of the. There was nothing that was really standoutish that I noticed on color, but it did have a really odd prominent forehead that had a bump. It kind of like a bump that just, you know, it was a very prominent bump on the forehead.
Right in between the eyes, or just above the eyes?
Right above where, like, eyebrows would be or whatever, and the top of the head, you know, it was just, it was placed more lower, where our forehead, for example, would be, that type of, it was really weird. It had a bump.
Did he speak to you?
I'm sorry, what?
Did he speak to you?
There was no actual, like, mouth words, but, there was some kind of communication, because I got really, like, sick to my stomach, like, nervous, scared. I mean, it's just everything was too weird still. At one point, he touched my forehead, and I became calm. I lost my fear. I even blacked out. Just everything, like, almost like a drug, you know, in a sense. Now, what the hypnosis or the doctor did is, and I, because I said I can't recall anything. Oh, I have to say this because a lot of times I forget. It's so strange. Why would I forget? Okay, there's two things I a lot of times forget. When I first got up in there, and I don't know if it was the little grays that were doing something, mm-hmm. or if it was, I'm pretty sure it was the little ones, but when the big blues came in, I don't know. But they were physically fixing me, doing something where in between some of the point, I had this electrocution kind of convulsions in. Like, I actually was aware of myself in the hypnosis session, and I couldn't control it. It was not like you just go like, ooh. It was like it became around my wrist, and my hands just flipped. Like, I could never do it. I mean, I'd literally have to be electrocuted. I swear. I mean, I really don't know what in the world that was happening, but it was just this flipping. Anyways.
Did you have, when that was going on, you said it was around your wrist. Did you have, like, a burning sensation around your wrist?
No, but there was a feeling I felt as though the rest of my body was, like, stiff and, like, I couldn't move the rest of it. So it was almost like my hands and my wrist were the only. And now I almost want to say that there was an intuition that, oh, God, this is really bad for my positive case, but I felt maybe a possibility of being strapped down, and I can't say for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, yeah, but I got to be honest with it. I really, you know, never said much about it. But, all right, and then at times there was this flash that I would see almost holographic of a very tall gray that looked really extra super skinny and everything was long, elongated. And the blue being's head, top of the head, came to the chest or the top of the chest of the tall really, like, super tall gray. So that's how much taller the other being was. And that would, they now, would, like, oversee or something, I don't know, and then it would kind of flash out, and then a couple more times come back during the session.
How wide was this super tall gray?
Well, it was...
Just show me with your hands.
Like, compared to the being, it was probably maybe less wide than the being, or the same, I mean, like the blue, and then I really don't know because the whole thing was like almost raised up somehow, and it was like kind of a fuzzy around it, so it had a holographic weird, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, at the same time, I wasn't really, you know, it's really hard.
Let me
to
tell
get,
you the like, reason I'm asking. There is a reporter who used to report from Israel. He's Israeli. His name is Barry Chamish. Or Chamish, I believe he pronounces it. And back in the 1980s, he reported, I think it was 80s, could have been the early 90s, he reported on sightings in Israel where there was a group of women. They were not in a group, but there were a number of women across Israel in a certain area of Israel that reported seeing these very tall, very thin grays.
That's really...
It sounded to me as though you were describing what he had described.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And the location, mm-hmm. I have to say, is extremely interesting. You know what I mean?
Right. We've got to take a break. But we will be back very shortly, folks. So hang in there, okay?
And you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. Healing medicine for the mind.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, and we're speaking this evening with Erica Getch. And hearing really, I think, just a fascinating story, a fascinating account of her encounters with extraterrestrials and really her encounter with herself in trying to get all this stuff to surface so she could remember it. Some of it she remembers outright, but there were some things that were just blocked and she was not able to remember. And we're hearing the account of that. These came out in hypnosis. So we were talking about these tall grays. We're talking about these big blue guys. Let's talk about those big blue guys for a moment. Are they in charge, or was that tall gray in charge?
That is an excellent question. You know, this is something that I'll tell you, I honestly did not know that they got along. I mean, like when, okay, maybe my research is off, but when I was researching after, because I was like, I thought that they didn't, or maybe it was before, I don't know. All I know is I couldn't imagine that they would actually be working together, because I just guess I was under the assumption, you know, grays hate reptilians. I don't really know. So honestly, it's funny because I wonder if the reptilian actually knew the gray was watching. I know this sounds even weirder because the little grays were the workers, mm-hmm. and they were like my intake, you know, people, and they were like doing whatever. And
by the way, on those little guys moving around so fast, we've had a guest on this show, John Vasquez, and John talks about an encounter that happened when he was in the Army. And during this encounter, there were these little gray guys, and he said they were moving so fast you couldn't hardly see them.
Oh, my God, that's weird. Yeah. That's another confirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were moving. Like I said, you can't. Like I didn't focus on their faces because, there was a lot of them, and it just.
He said when they moved,
all around you like little bees, practically. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He said when they moved, you couldn't actually see their feet on the ground. It was almost like they were floating, but so fast.
Yeah.
Back to the reptilian and the tall gray. What was your impression? As to who was in charge there.
I really want to say, it really seemed like the gray.
Uh-huh.
The funny thing is I don't feel connected. I always, there's a lot more focus on the reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know why all this is, but the gray really doesn't make me feel like, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's funny that there would even be an overseer, if that was the case.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now because of time constraints, I'm going to have to move us forward a little bit here. Your encounter with these big blue guys, as you referred to them, you see that as positive, and yet everything we've heard so far sounds scary as hell.
Yeah, the thing is, when they were like, they were working on me, they were fixing me. This is what I said in my hypnosis, and I can go quicker, that's why I want to make sure I get, and it was like a mother to a child. It was taking care of me. They really was, and maybe they were invested in me, you know, as an object, but I felt the love. I felt the love. I felt the message that they were giving me through telepathy or whatever it was. I get the gathering of the message that they want me to actually say is we've got, and I don't know how they said this, but humans need to get rid of the fear. We need to stop with the fear, and we need to, because if we stop with the fear, then we'll be able to get to their love. Now, a lot of people say, you know, that's just a bunch of, you know, baloney because blah, blah, blah. I don't know if it is or not, but I felt loved. I felt they're helping. There's something, you know, good within them. But we fear too much. We fear. Now, here, I have to mention this. When, you're sitting at the table and Johnny, the little boy, wants, you know, he's 2 years, 5 years old. He wants his, you know, candy bar before supper. And the parent says, no, you can't. Well, Johnny hates you. You know what I mean? Johnny thinks you're evil, but basically. But the parent is doing it for their own good. And that's the way I feel, is the similarity to it.
Do you feel that way about being taken on board that craft against your will?
I actually have knowledge later that I've been working with them. So this is sort of like your memory blocks. You forget. You go through the scared thing, and then you end up getting you get the hint, and you understand what's happening later.
Okay, so as I understand what you just said, is that this was not your first time on board one of these ships.
Right, which I was, surprised at that myself. So right afterwards, they ended up taking me on a walk, and I walked through the hallway, and I could describe the hallway, but I basically drew a picture, and to the left, you could have went to the rest of wherever, and kind of to the right, there was an overhang courtyard thing with sort of a railing, whatever, and I looked down, and I remember seeing, well, as that reptilian was walking ahead, I remember that's where the smell came from. Something they're wearing or their odor from them, I don't know. But anyways, we were walking, and I remember looking down in the courtyard, and I mean, the ship was way bigger than the one that I saw. So we might have went to another one, but anyways, I remember when I saw many different beings, and maybe humans, I don't know, but as soon as my brain went, and I got surprised at what I saw down on the courtyard far, they rushed me ahead, and I went to this room, and that's where I saw my hybrid child.
Your hybrid child. That means...
Well, I didn't know at first. I just remember I was the only one in the room, and I looked around and thought, this room looks really strange, and like they're trying to make it human, but I was like, I was almost, offended because it looked really cheesy. But anyways, I saw, but I was scared too, it's...
What was there? Okay, let me ask you this. Did they have like an onboard McDonald's?
Oh, I'm not sure about that, but hey, that's a good, no. I should find that out. It just had this, I just sensed that it wasn't, it was like, I don't know. But anyways, I want to move on.
I want to hear about the hybrid child. This would indicate that not only have you been there before, but you've been pretty involved there.
Yeah, there's a child that looked, I've never been able to have children, at least Earth children, so, and being married 20 years, you think. But I saw this child that was, maybe looked like it could have been, 6 months of age, that, kind of like, sitting up. I mean, everything was like, too young to be sitting strong, and I knew that was off. And then I realized it was like sort of levitating something. It was like doing something that was kind of floating. And I wanted to scream because I was like, what? But then I realized I sat down and I started bonding with the child. And like, I wanted to look at the child and like, who are you and why am I here? And then I started getting, and you can hear my response in my hypnosis. I started bonding with the child. I realized the smell, the skin, whatever it was, there was a mother. I became aware that it was mine, and it was a female. And she looked just like the blue being, sort of, but she wasn't blue. She was, flesh, human flesh toned, and a Caucasian like I am. And so that's what she looked like. She had the prominent bump, though. She had the glass, the eyes that looked like glass and the elongated pupils. And she was just gorgeous. I became, like, aware of how beautiful. And I wanted to, I was actually mad to make, make it light for the air here. But I was really upset, and I started to get where I wanted to take her away. And I was getting upset. So as soon as I got really about thinking about leaving with her, if I even could, the female came in and got me out. And I was going off about who's the father, just the whole nine yards of what is going on. And they touched my forehead, or she did, and I felt calmer. And when I was calmer, I was sort of giving the message, I don't know what you want to call it, not message, but she was basically talking to me. And I have been working with them. And basically, some kind of ongoing teaching, or I don't know, but there's an equation. And honest to God, I don't know why I said equation. I'm not into math. I'm really bad with math. And I don't think it's really a math equation as much as there's an equation that I have to find a male, another human, maybe man, that, sorry, ladies, anybody listening, it's for some reason I said that in the hypnosis, but a male human is supposed to have knowledge of it, help me with it. There's something that's going to be connected and help me in some way.
I think I may know who.
Really? What?
Yeah. I will tell you after the show.
Okay. And so let me describe the equation also, because it's very complex and multi-layered.
Okay.
You have one layer, for example, and it has all these, say, flashes of, or not flashes, like you take a bunch of cards and you put them on the card table and you just sort of spread them around and they're all mixed up. And then if you pick up each individual card, for example, it has thoughts and feelings and symbols and, you know what I mean? Whatever's on there, it's like almost like a book or something, downloading, whatever. But yet there's tons of them. And then over that is another layer. So I feel there's three layers, but, you know. And so it's actually quite difficult for me to come up with, like, it's just not as easy as, you know, pi r square or whatever. That's about all I remember from math, sorry. But, I mean, it's a joke.
You didn't get that in math. I hate to tell you, but you didn't get pi r squared in math.
Oh, really? Well, anyways, you know what I mean? It's like, I can't just write it. I mean, it's not that easy. And I wish it was. So that is pretty much it. And what happened in the hypnosis also revealed that we didn't want to leave. My friends were there. I don't talk about their experience because I can't, you know, say that I saw them. I was focused on my own. But
have you been back, and have you seen this child again since then?
I remote viewed. I tried some remote viewing, which I started to actually be able to remote view. And honestly, I don't know. You know what I mean? Because I'm, again, skeptical. But I don't recall any, you know, interaction like that. It's pretty much the end of the story almost, and almost the end of the show. But the end of the story is pretty much...
Go ahead.
It's pretty much that my friends and I did not want to leave. We wanted to stay there. And they pretty much told us, or whatever, had us leave. And we pretty much watched them. And then it goes right with what I remember seeing, as that they take off and stuff like that. And then the weirdest thing is that we're walking back to the car, and this is a part, of course, I don't have memory of in conscious. We're walking back to the car, and in my hypnosis, I say there's nothing to talk about, which I found really weird. Like, look what just happened. Oh, but there's nothing to talk about. We get in the car, and I guess we go, you know, they take me home. And that's the next day. So
Well, see, in a way, there's nothing to talk about. I mean... in a way, because you've only been sort of waking up to all of this for, I think you said, less than a year, maybe a year, and it's surprising to you, but there's nothing more abnormal about this than looking at a Walmart and seeing a Walmart. And so in that sense, there's nothing to talk about. It happened, you know. We live in a world that's populated by people who think if they didn't see it, smell it, touch it, or taste it, or hear it, it's not real. And yet they can't see infrared light. They can't see X-ray. They cannot see ultraviolet light. And that's very, very real. We'll continue with that when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. That break just wanted to keep playing music, didn't it? All right, welcome back. We're on Final Approach. This is the Kevin Smith Show, and this is the Kevin Smith. We're talking with Erica Ketch, and Erica, because we're so close on time, let me do this, and then we can chat some more.
Okay.
But I'm going to read some lines to you because I think you need to hear this. All around me, there are eyes that are wide open blind and people that are locked down by their tiny welded minds. And that's when you've had an experience like what you've had, time is out of joint. You're here and you're looking at things and it's like you're looking at a puppet show. Because all around you there are eyes that are wide open blind and people that are locked down by their tiny welded minds. Hang on while I get a sip of coffee.
Okay.
By their tiny welded minds. And that's the problem that people who have experienced something the rest of us haven't experienced. That's the problem they face, because you're living in a broader, bigger reality that it's not a bigger reality, because reality is just reality. You're living in a broader, bigger awareness of reality. So you can kind of like, it's kind of like if you could see infrared and the rest of us can't.
Right.
So that's what you're up against. And this whole thing about, I don't want people to think I'm crazy. So let me ask you, all those people you're worried about, do they pay your bills?
No.
They don't matter.
Okay. That's right. That's good.
What matter is people, but their opinion of you doesn't matter. They're not paying your bills. it doesn't matter. What happened, happened. And what you saw and what you saw and experienced. And what everybody else thinks about it, that's their problem.
You know, I know people talk about Stockholm Syndrome, mm-hmm. where, obviously everybody knows, you start to, have sympathy for your abductors or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think that this is it. I really don't, because, it's in my intuition. I mean, there's just things that I feel like it's not.
It doesn't matter. If it's Stockholm Syndrome or if it's not, what you experienced.
Yeah, this is kind of why I wrote to you and why I think I'm coming a little more out to want to be on, more public, but. The message and the equation's really, I'm bothered by it. I really want to know, mm-hmm. but then I'm almost to the point where I'm just like, okay, forget it. I can't deal with it. I'm just going to let that go. And if it happens, I have to let it be naturally. Mm-hmm. My husband was a little irritated, well, kind of hurt actually, because, I haven't been able to have children. When you find out there's a hybrid and, it's kind of a, So, yeah, it was a little bit weird, the whole thing, having him here. But he's supportive. And I want to bring awareness to the fact that there are, and I've heard several people that actually have positive reptilian experiences, and in which they don't have blue reptilians, but they come out saying that their overall experience was positive with reptilians. And so in a weird sense, in the paranormal / UFO community, it's a stereotype that reptilians, or most of them, or all of them, are all like bad, basically. And I want to bring awareness to it may not be so. I have an open mind, though, that if there's evidence later, if there's memories and things, I'm going to be admitting it. If there was something that I need to change my view. Of course, views, you're supposed to learn. Every day I'm learning.
Sure.
So that is something I just wanted to get out there, that this stuff is real. And there can be a very good assets that come with, you know, I mean, a contact. Now, it's not all scary, but, of course, we don't want to be foolish and let anybody in, you know. I mean, we have to be cautious. So I err on the side of caution just as much. But yes, I wanna say the other side of the coin is, you know, there could be positive experiences going on. So
you're still kind of looking. You haven't settled yet on whether this was all good or whether there might be something that would change your mind about it.
Right. I mean, yeah. I think overall, you know, 75%.
Mm-hmm.
I think for sure is positive. But of course, you know, I hear so much how, well, if they're taking you against your will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, you know, honestly, that's, you know, when you're a child and 5 years old, this and that. Your will, you don't even have a will when your mom says, get in the bathtub, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, is that evil? I mean, I know that sounds like I'm trying to completely overprotect, you know, the blue beings or the gray, and that's another thing. Who's really in charge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who is in charge, and who's to blame if they're evil? Is it the blues or is it the grays? I mean, honestly... And who are they? You know, are they reptilian or are they, say, something? You know what I mean? Are they in the same category? And am I defending reptile-type races and it's really another race? Because somebody said there's blue Andromedans that have something with their forehead. And I don't know. See what I mean? It's almost like, what do I... But, yeah, I'm still new to the discovery of it, so...
Well, I want to thank you for being with us this evening. This is a fascinating story, and I want to know if you'd be willing to come back and let us dive into this a little deeper.
Sure. If there's anything more I can, or just ongoing with, you know, generalized and things, I've actually thought about getting more hypnosis. I'm not sure. You know, it's almost like... I don't know, mm-hmm. but I definitely would love to come back, and I appreciate you having me on. That was a quick response, and I encourage anybody, if you guys are listening, please write to Kevin Smith, because if you have experiences, you know, don't discount that they might be important, because I really didn't think my experience was that much, you know. I mean, I was a little shocked to be on, which is, I'm glad. It's just I minimize my own because I hear so much. You know, in my community, I hear so many people talking, maybe not similar, but you know what I mean? And so I'm pleasantly surprised, but I encourage everybody to come through. And, you know, thank you so much.
Well, you're certainly welcome, and thank you for being with us. If you will, just stay on the line with me here, because as I bring this in for a landing, because I want to chat with you just a moment and give you some information here after the show, okay? Okay, folks, that's Erica Getch, and I told you it would be fascinating, and I did not lie to you, did I? Some of you have had experiences, maybe not like hers, maybe entirely different from hers, but you've got that same sort of, your time is out of joint, things don't fit right after you have this experience, because it's almost like you're looking at a puppet show and all the rest of us are the puppets. You're seeing and understanding and knowing things the rest of us cannot yet perceive. It's important for you to connect with other people who have had those same types of experiences. I mean, the details can be different, but they have the experience with extraterrestrials, and then later, everything is kind of out of joint. You're standing here in the world. You're looking at people moving around you, but you're not looking at them with the same perception you looked at them before. It's different, and it feels a little bit disjointed, a little bit unconnected to the rest. Well, you're not unconnected. If anything, it's the rest of us who have our perceptions unplugged. And you're standing in the middle of a bunch of people who have their eyes wide blind, open wide blind. All right, that's going to do it for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.